so good to know that God commissions us. Jesus commissions us as his disciples to go and follow him. And he's with us. But a big part of that is trying to figure out, does Jesus, when he's calling his disciples to go, is he calling them just to believe in him or actually really walk wholeheartedly for him? And if we look at the word disciple, a disciple is someone who doesn't just believe in someone else or believe in the teachings of someone else. He actually decides to follow and to imitate, in a sense, what that person is standing for. And that's what we believe Jesus is calling each of us to do, is to wholeheartedly follow him, not just believe in him. So one of the challenges is, you know, well, if we are called to be wholehearted, you know, how do we do that? Is that something we can even do? And I think we realize that it's not something we can do. There's an element of something we can do. So here talked about, actually, if there's a commitment that we need to make. And that's something we each can do. We can all choose to be committed to the Lord. But at the end of the day, it's God working in us to draw ourselves, each of us, closer to him. So James 4, 7 to 10 says this. It says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, this is the important verse I want to emphasize. It says, come close to God and God will come close to you. So that's a choice to draw near to him. And in drawing near to him, he will draw near to us. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. So that's Jesus' call. He wants us to humbly come to him. And that means actually turning our lives, as Heather was saying earlier, it's about orientating our hearts towards God. It's saying, God, I'm not going my way, so I'm going to turn myself to follow after you. So that's what wholehearted means. It means really choosing, each of us choosing to turn to the Lord and say, Jesus, won't you work with me and help me to live for you? And just in preparing today, I really just was thinking of our teens as well. And guys, this is not an adult thing. This is for all of us. And a verse that came to mind is 1 Timothy 4:12. And it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So that's a call for all you guys that are young. God's calling you as well just to stand for him. And to set an example even to your parents and to adults in the way that you love Jesus. So it's for all of us. God's calling us all to be wholehearted and really for him. So that's our mission, church. And we really believe God wants to draw us into wholehearted fellowship with him. Thanks, Pam. If we can move to the next one. Okay, so as when we speak to the vision, different members of the leadership team are going to be sharing, which I think should be quite fun. But just to give you the introduction, it really is, this is the vision. It's for each one to relate authentically and to intentionally pursue God and his purposes together. Okay, so there are lots of words there, and those words have been quite carefully chosen because they are words that have been given to us in the last year or so, and we really believe that's what God's calling us to. I think one thing that it does say is that, in a sense, we don't have a very clear direction of exactly what God wants for us. And I've had to get to a point where I've actually said, that's okay. In some senses, it would be quite nice if we knew God's calling us exactly to do this as a church. But actually, the call for now is to seek his purposes together. And he's going to show us it will be different things for different people in our congregation. But together he's going to lead us. And let's seek those purposes together. Okay, so I'm going to call up Pam first. She's going to be sharing on the first word, which really just stands out in that vision statement, which is each one.
Each one has been something that's been a part of our church for as long as I can remember. I've been here a long time. And it's been a concept that's been there, and it's always been that every single person is so valuable in this body of Christ, and every single person has a role to play. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says this, but our bodies, he likens it with the human body, the body of Christ to the human body, but our bodies have many parts. But listen to this, and God has put each part just where he wants it. You're not here by accident. God has placed you here because he wants you here in this body. And you have a very special place and a very specific role to play. Not just on Sundays, right through the week, okay? And then in verse 27, it says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Now, just to illustrate how amazing this is, I'd like you all just to close your eyes for a minute. Imagine if you didn't have your eye, your eyes. Imagine, you'd be groping around in the dark, you wouldn't have perspective, and guess what? You would need your ears, you would need your hands to steady yourself, you would need your feet to feel where you were treading. Okay, you could open your eyes. Aren't you glad you have your eyes? But how much we need in the body of Christ each other. Somebody else is that ear and that hand when you can't see where you're going. Somebody else is that shoulder for you to cry on. Somebody else is that arm to give you a hug. You are that arm to give somebody else a hug. Maybe midweek, maybe in the spa, wherever. How will the world know about Jesus unless they see Christians, members of the body of Christ, loving each other? And that's scriptural. And then in 1 Peter 4, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. God is such a diverse God. And you have such a unique role to play that nobody else is actually playing. Your role is very specific. And Peter goes on to say, use these gifts well to serve one another. So that's what it's about. Each one of us, so valuable to God, so valuable to this body of Christ.
Thanks, Pam. That was great. What I'm talking about is relating and relating together. And I read that scripture about you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I thought, how does that apply to us relating? It's like concentric circles. It starts at home. That's where the spot is, where our relating to our spouses starts, relating to our children starts. And we had a guy on the farm. He was a pastor amongst our staff, and he came to a home group of ours once. And we asked him, we said, is so-and-so a Christian? And he looked at us and he said, I don't know. I haven't lived with them. And that's something, it's a challenging thing that stayed with me just about all the years of my Christian walk, because the relating, if it's not real, if it's not authentic, then it can't be recognized. So take a normal Sunday, say like this morning, and the husband and wife had a fight before they even got into the car. And that's something that happens for all of us. We don't intend it to be, but somehow Sundays, the pressure's on because we're rushing and we're trying to be spiritual. So that's okay, but what we need to do is we just need to resolve that sincerely. Sincere is an old-fashioned sort of word. We tend these days to say authentically, but the old-fashioned word is sincerely. Just be sincere about resolving that in your relationship right there. So that started at home. Then the next circle goes out and you get here and it's the serving team. And say that today the green team is on. And now the relating's got to happen there. Now, not everybody does their job properly, or half the team don't arrive, or whatever. So now your relationships are stretched again. You're thinking, oh, you know, why didn't everybody just come? So that's the, you know, there's a challenge on relationships again. So you've got to be, You've just got to be aware in your relationships all the time. There might be when you get to church, new people. Okay, like today we've got two lovely new families. So what needs to our antenna as far as relationships go, it needs to be, okay, how did I feel when I was new somewhere? And what would that person like? Would they like to know where the loo is? Would they like to know where, you know, what we're going to do afterwards? Just relate. Just think about it. Just, it's a sensitivity. Have your antenna out for that. Then your next mission field might be leaving here and going to the spa. Spa is obviously a place where we all meet. Pam spoke about it just now. And, yes. There's another option for the relating to happen. And it's just looking out, having your antenna out to say, okay, Lord, what, where, who do I, who can I connect to? Then we have during the week, we have maybe a connect group. And there again, there's another opportunity for just relating, connecting. And there might be someone there, and they're always challenged. We were, like Heather said, that it's messy. Our sea is messy. You get to the home group, and someone is going on and on and on about whatever, their aches and pains. And there's another opportunity. Okay, Lord, how do I relate to this instead of just switching off? How do I connect with this person? Somebody mentions that they're lonely. Antenna's out. Okay, let's arrange two of us to get together and go and visit that person this week. So for me, the relating is very much connected to the antenna. I've asked Matt to come in and with a very practical demonstration of. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Matt. Can you put it up right here? Okay, so what I wanted with this is to say that our antenna needs to be to the Lord. Okay, way up. So we need to be reaching out to Him all of the time to be able to do this part. The sideways part is the relating part. But it's hopeless. We can't do the sideways part if the upwards part isn't fully operational. So for me, this was really a good demonstration to say. Matt, hang on to it again. Thank you. A good demonstration to say we need to be reaching up to be able to reach out. And the scripture that was really really relevant for me in this whole thing was Romans 1, verse 12, and it says that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And that's really what relating is about. That's why we have home groups. That's why we get together on a Sunday, so that we can mutually encourage each other's faith. So at Crossways, we're going to be good at doing this. Okay, who's next after me? Tony.
Thanks, Renee. So one of the other words that's been coming through quite strongly from the Lord has been authenticity. And the scripture that I got to speak about from the Lord is 1 Corinthians 3, 10-15. So I want to read that and we'll just look at that briefly. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one, take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what each sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So it's quite a hectic scripture, but it's a very cool scripture because it really is it's the Lord speaking to us about being authentic. It's about real authenticity and how we should build in authenticity. And I thought that Rob's prayer was particularly prophetic in that way, saying we're not a franchise. And Crossways doesn't want to be a franchise. It wants to be a real, authentic, Christ-following church. And so it's a real message from the Lord to say, let's be authentic. You know, in today's day and age, there's so much plastic. There's plastic everywhere you go. There's plastic, you know, plastic, well, there's actually a plastic spoon here. It's a good object. There's a plastic bowl. And I think for many of us, we're actually tired of plastic. You know, the world is tired of plastic. It's tired of fake news and fake everything. It wants to see authenticity. And so the Lord is asking us to be authentic in our following of Him and in relating to one another. And so that's the real message for us today, is to be authentic. And so we're going to be pursuing that. We want people who come in here to see us as being real, real with each other and real with the Lord. Over to Harvey.
Matthew 6 reads, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And I was thinking about that and thinking, seeking His righteousness, what does that mean? And it means being intentional. It means being intentional about everything you do. And if you seek His righteousness, then all these things will be given to you as well. And what are these things? The most important thing is to give your life wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ, so that you know that Jesus is Lord of your life. That is the key, that you know that Jesus is Lord of your life. Because if you don't know that, then you're just going around wondering what on earth is this life all about. I spoke last week of how I underestimated the power of God in my life when I was farming. I used to get up early and go to the dairy and I'd close my office door, and I would spend time in quiet time with the Lord, reading my Bible and that. But you know, there were always distractions, always noise and smells and things that happen in the dairy. And so it was difficult, but I felt that I was getting close to God in that time. We also attended a church in Crichton, which was not unsimilar to this in number, but it was a grouping of all sorts of different denominations, and it was always a challenge because each person would want to push their thing. And so often our meetings were quite a challenge, because trying to find unity when you've got a whole lot of different denominations together is difficult. But at least we decided that we should concentrate on the issues rather than the small issues, because most denominations actually concentrate on the central theme of Jesus dying, shedding His blood for our sins and that. But it's all the other things that separate us. So we did get through. Having become a townie and having time with the teaching that we've had on being wholehearted over these times, I've found it a lot easier, because now I've got time and I don't have to go to the dairy. But I still enjoy getting up early. That was interesting, actually. We met with Angus Buchan years back as farmers, and he was talking about having a quiet time, and we said, the dairy farmers there said, you know, we get up so early in the morning, how can we manage that? So he said, just get up earlier. And it was a bit of a shock to our systems, but we realized what he was on about. And I'm fortunate, I prefer the early morning, so I'm still in that habit of getting up early and spending time with the Lord, and it's really a blessing to me now to be able to just do it in my house in a quiet spot. And I think that's really what one needs to do, is find that spot in in your house and just intentionally go there every day and just spend time with the Lord, listening to Him rather than speaking. I think so often we spend time asking and asking for guidance from the Lord and asking for Him to help us in this area and help us in that area. But really what we need to do is to listen and hear what His plan is for us for that day. Because that then we can go out with confidence and know that He's with us. Hebrews 6 verse 7 and 8 are quite challenging verses, but they do speak to this point. We want each of you, again, each of you, to show this same diligence to the very end, in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So that's the challenge. We don't want to be found to be lazy. We want to be found to be diligent. To be diligent in seeking the Lord and spending time with Him and getting guidance for our day. So that's the key, I think, is to be diligent and not to be lazy. Lazy is a tough word, and we don't want to be found to be lazy. We want to be really intentional about spending time with the Lord. If you have any doubt about your salvation, claim the shed blood of Christ to cleanse you. Pray the blood of Christ over your family, friends, and all those who need to find the Lord. And use this time when Barry leads us through communion to bring those issues to the fore. Pray the blood of Jesus over yourself and your family and ask Him to guide you. We live in challenging times, but with Christ as our Savior, we are the head and not the tail. And remember that, we are the head and not the tail. I think also one needs to be intentional about seeking your talent. Every one of us, as Pam said, in the body of Christ, every one of us has a talent. And I was going to ask Trevor to come up and give a testimony, but he was so hesitant that I'll just give it on his behalf. I think if I gave him the microphone, he'd probably throw it at me. But you know what has been incredible is Trevor and Judith coming into this body. If you look around here and you see what Trevor has achieved, it's absolutely incredible. He's just got stuck in here every day. He's here. He's taken up that floor. He's going to concrete that floor. He's painted that wall. He did it all himself. He's done all sorts of things. Trevor, we're really grateful to what you've done for us. But the testimony that I wanted to share is that when we got together last week, we had two needs. Michelle had a shoulder, a very painful shoulder. We prayed for her, and it's recovering. And Trevor was, Judith said, Trevor needs work, and he'd put out a tender for a job at Alcan, Nick's company. I'm sure Nick would like to claim the company, but. And a couple of days ago, he was awarded that contract. And so it's fantastic that now the Lord's opened a job for him. I think also in small fellowship groups, be intentional to become a member of a group, because it's in those small groups where you get to grips with the issues that people are going through. And it's an opportunity to pray. And as Heath said, make the choice, because actually being intentional is making a choice. That's the way you do it. It's deciding to seek the Lord and to do His work rather than to do our own thing. And that's what unfortunately we often do. So use the communion time to come and recognize the shed blood of Christ over your life individually and corporately as a group. And if anybody has any needs that they feel that we can that they'd like us to pray with, you're always welcome after the service to come up and we'll pray for you. Thanks.
Thanks, Harvey. So the final word that sort of that we end the vision with is together. And Heather was sharing earlier about the arms of the Lord, and I think part of that is being together, doing this church thing together, following the Lord together. And I just wanted to read from Romans 12, verses 48. It says, For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And then it talks about us all having different gifts and using those. But we belong to one another. And that's part of what Christ's body is. It's not being independent. It's about doing things together. And I think what's, through this last year, we've chosen as a church to not appoint a pastor. And essentially to say, let's trust God to build our church together. And as an eldership team, as a leadership team, we're trusting God to guide us together. And equally as a church, we're trusting him to build something here in this community together. So that's our vision, church, that we really are trusting that God's going to lead us along that path. And just to sum up then, I think what is we didn't quite know what we were all going to be saying as we started, but just a few practical illustrations that were given. I mean, Pam talking about blind eyes. How can we exist, or how difficult is life with blind eyes? So each of us having our different roles. Renee with that idea of an antenna, the importance of reaching up to God, but it's not just a straight antenna. The importance of that is there, that's there, but God wants us to reach out to one another as well. And then Harvey just, or Tony just talking about plastic spoons. We're so tired about plastic, and we don't want to be fake with one another. We want God to be real in us and to be real with one another as well, through our ups and downs. We want that. And Harvey speaking around a range of things, but one of them that struck me was that quiet spot that we all need to pursue, whether it's in a dairy or whether it's at home. It's being intentional about choosing to spend time with the Lord and asking him to guide us. So let's do this together, church. We really believe God's got something special for us, and we're trusting that he's going to continue to build us, to grow us, as we really just seek to be wholehearted in following him. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Barry and Doreen. They're just going to lead us through the communion together.
Thanks, Doug. I think one thing that Doug, or hasn't been shared today, is just the amount of time and commitment and prayer and searching God has gone into getting to this point. And we have really had the privilege of coming and walking with the eldership team since the beginning. I think it was pretty much the 1st of January sort of thing. And our first meeting was a real lengthy one. I think it was a sort of a whole afternoon, evening. And what we actually realized was that the eldership had already identified a couple of books that they had read about church leadership. They had summarized these things. They had been praying and discussing these things. And really from there, it was to say, well, what is the mission and the vision of Crossways Church? And then many meetings were had of discussing this, of praying through it. And so that is, what you've seen today has not been sort of a quick, well, what's our mission and vision? It's something that's come really from seeking God. And then also there was a time when the elders asked the broader leadership to come together and also bounce it off them as well. And so this is something which has really, as I say, come with a lot of prayer, a lot of thought, and really is God-led. Before I carry on with the actual scripture that I have for this morning, Doreen wants to share something.
And this last weekend we spent some time as an eldership away, and we were praying for this for today, and I had this picture of a catapult of seed being scattered all over and into very fertile soil. You guys are a fertile soil. Saw many different plants shooting up, many different fruit-bearing trees, some oaks, huge oaks, I'm providing shade and rest and shelter for some. And I really feel I have a huge expectation of what lies ahead for Crossways. An incredible, fruitful expectation of the plans and purposes God has for each one of you, the gifts and the ministries and the talents that he has for each one of you. Your soil is ready. Receive the seed. Seek him. Ask him. I feel like today is, there's been a build-up, but there's a spiritual significance of what God is doing today in each one of us.
One of the things... One of the things that comes out of what Doreen has shared now is that the seed had different trees. There was different fruits. And again, it goes to the thing of each one. It's each one actually participating. And as everyone brings their differentness together, it actually makes a full body. So, an eye and an ear and all the rest is everyone contributing together. This morning I want to read from Psalm 133. In fact, I'm going to read the whole psalm, all three verses of it. And it goes like this. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded his blessing." And this thing of the unity of the body, it's a beautiful thing. It's the picture here is the oil being poured out upon the head, and that's the picture of the anointing and of the Holy Spirit. And it's actually quite interesting that it's on the priests, and we are a royal priesthood, and you are a royal priesthood. And then it's about the refreshing of the dew upon the mountains as well. And it's in this place where there's unity that God commands a blessing. And so I want to pray for you as a church around unity, and then we're going to break bread. And so please can you close your eyes. God, I want to pray for unity in Crossways Church. Lord, I pray for unity of purpose around the vision that you have given them, that each one has a part to play. Lord, I pray that you will reveal to each one, to each different one, Lord, the role that they have to play in this body. I pray that you will show each one what the gifts are that they hold in their hands right now and how to bring those into the body of Crossways Church. Lord, I pray specifically for the children in the church that they will be one of the each ones who have an important role to play in the body. I pray that they will hear from you and boldly make their contribution to the family of Crossways Church. Lord, I want to pray for the relationships in the church. Lord, help your church to put down facades, Lord. Lord, I pray that they will grow deep, vulnerable, authentic relationships, Lord. Father, will you build deep levels of trust between the members of this family? And I pray, Lord, that they will build relationships to the level where they could trust each other to fight side by side for your kingdom. I pray, God, that they will be known as a people who hunger after you, who put you first in all things in their lives, who truly know how to seek you first in their lives, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will show them how to make changes in their lives, to be bold, Lord, and to implement those changes, that their lives will reflect how they pursue you, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray that they might fight to protect the unity of this family. Lord, I pray that they may know that in this unity, Lord, is your blessing. So, Father God, I want to pray for your hand upon this church. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit in this church, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will guard the unity, that they will fight for this unity, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they will stand together to fulfill this vision that you have for them as a church. Thank you, Lord. Amen.